Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Thank you all.
I
want you all to know you can't go any louder. I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you! The rest of the world hears you, and the people down will hear all of us soon.
I think that was probably one of the most iconic sound bites in the wake of 9/11 with everything. That was George W. Bush. As you remember, he was there in the days following the terror attack. And he was there, you know, at ground zero, talking to all of the firefighters and the first responders. And it had, people were there. There was a feeling on ground zero of hopelessness for a little bit, especially as they were looking for survivors. And there was the story, for instance, of the rescue dogs that they were using, because the rescue dogs were feeling, the story was, is that they were feeling sort of disconcerted because they were not finding people who were alive, and it was taking a toll on the rescue dogs even. So they would have, the story goes that they would have them rescue workers pretend to be caught in the rubble so that the rescue dogs would have people to find and that they would have enough motivation to keep going. And it was right at that crux of this, you know, this feeling of hopelessness. And, you know, you're trying to figure out, how do you react? How do you deal with all of this? And then you had then President George W. Bush give his remarks. And it, I think that signaled one of the last times too, that it really felt that there was a sense of unity, a little bit of unity that people saw. It's still iconic. Welcome to the show. And Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this first hour on Monday. And this, it's the 22nd observation of 9/11. And we do that. We talk about this every single year, and I've written so much about it. I don't know if I can rephrase it, you know, any other way that's new. I put something up on Substack, and I think I was trying to remember. I feel like the occurrence happened because it was on a Monday when it happened originally, and I was thinking back to when the last time it fell on a Monday. But we always take this opportunity to kind of, I just, because there, now we have a whole new voting generation. A voting generation, ironically, that, you know, came up, or coincidentally, came up during 9, I mean, that was born 9-11. It's born 9-11. My, you know, my son, who is now 22, my oldest son, he was just a baby and sitting there just as a baby in the floor when the towers fell. And I remember all of this. And now he's, you know, a young man. And it's just, you know, life goes on. It's odd. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. We're also going to get into just, you know, the latest with all the other news as well. And major news coming out of New Mexico. Crazy over the weekend. And if you get the newsletter over on Substack, which you should absolutely be subscribed to, because this is one of the reasons why, you know, I mean, we send this stuff out, and this is, you know, one of the reasons why you need to be subscribed to the newsletter over at Substack. And this, we get into a lot of the stuff that was happening. I'm going to dive into that here coming up. All right. So first up, welcome again to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour. And this, this is like the first time, I think, in the history of the country that the president was not at one of these sites. And I was thinking, I was thinking back, there's never been that there, because Biden's on his way to Africa, Alaska. And there's never been an instance where the president of the United States has not been at one of the Ground Zero sites. And this comes on the heels of his disastrous, absolutely disastrous trip to Vietnam, which we're going to play some of this audio for you, because guys, this is really bad. I don't know if you heard some of this. It's bad. Some of the audio that we have here. He was in Vietnam, and some of the remarks that he was making were just, he was all over the place. He had to have his presser, his staff people at one point stop the press conference. Audio soundbite. Let's just start with three. This is audio soundbite three. This is, he's speaking to the press. Just listen to this. It's wild.
So my brother loves having his famous lines in movies that he always quotes. You know, and one of them is there's a movie about John Wayne. He's an Indian scout, and they're trying to get the, I think it was Apache, one of the great tribes of America, back on a reservation, and he's standing with the Union, so he's raw arms, they're on their horses and their saddles, and there's three or four Indians in headdresses, and the Union soldiers, basically saying, Indians, come with me, we'll take care of you, everything will be good, and the Indian scout, the Indian looks at John Wayne and points to the Union soldier and says, he's a lion dog-faced pony soldier. Well, there's a lot of lion dog faced pony soldiers out there about global warming. But not anymore. All of a sudden, we realize it's a problem. And there's nothing like seeing the light.
What was that? What the hell was that? I don't even know. Nobody knows what that was. That was just, I can't even make fun of it. I can't even make fun of it because it's so weird. He had this rambling press conference. Now you can maybe kind of understand why he didn't go to, wasn't at one of the sites for 9-11. It was in Hanoi. This was Sunday night. This was just last night, this press conference that he had. And then he kind of shuffled off stage. But before he did that, oh no, wait, there's more. Audio soundbite two. This is more of this shambolic press conference. This was literally just last night.
And let's see. I'll just follow my orders here. Staff, does anybody have spoken? I ain't calling on you. I said there are five questions. Anita, BOA.
I'll just follow my orders here, he said. And then this is, I mean, I can't, this is how it ended, audio sound by four. They cut him off because he just kept rambling on. They just cut him off mid-sentence. Listen to this.
We talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all. You came with me.
Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
They just shut him off mid-sentence. And then this weird music starts. It was weird. It was like weird jazz music. I don't know. It was just bizarre. That, guys, there's no way you can look at this and say, oh, he's totally fine. Dana, you're just being mean. You're being so mean, Dana. Why are you so ignorant? He's totally fine. Does it sound like he's totally fine? Doesn't sound like he's totally fine. Now he comes back. He's on his way to Alaska. In the meantime, the Florida governor and the first lady of Florida were invited by 9/11 families to go to Ground Zero in New York. And they were meeting with and talking to the families that, although the family, because every year the names are read out. And it's just shocking. It's 22 years later. We're going to talk about how much have things changed. Have they? Have they really? Now, in the meantime, one of the other things we're going to be diving into. This was a huge story that erupted, and I have a million updates on this, and a whole bunch of other. I have a piece out that came out this weekend on Substack, and then I have a second piece that's going to be coming out later today. So the New Mexico governor essentially suspended the Second Amendment. Just let me give you the headline on this. This is Michelle Lujan Grisham. She's a Democrat in New Mexico. Now, New Mexico's been dealing with some crime. They've been dealing with, crime wave, essentially. And this has been building. I went back, and I'm going to do a deeper dive on this, but just to set the table, this crime wave started kind of building up in 2014. And has only gotten exponentially worse. And this, it's steadily risen, and they've had a Soros-backed DA, who is now the AG of New Mexico, who is part of this issue. And in response to this, her remarks, her solution to curb the crime was to literally ban all carry of firearms, concealed or otherwise. This is going to meet a major constitution. This is going to meet a court challenge. There's no way this survives the court. So coming up, this is what we're going to dive into. We've got all the latest with 2024, also with the president being in Alaska and kind of flouting tradition. But we're going to talk about the truth about New Mexico's governor, the truth about the Albuquerque DA, the truth about the mayor on the crime rate. I did the homework so you don't have to. I'm going to explain to you what happened with their crime rate, what happened with the DA's dismissal of cases. And we're going to talk about the legal challenge that she is absolutely going to face in court and how she is not going to prevail. And we're going to dive into that. And then coming up, we're going to talk to some New Mexico Second Amendment activists, because they had a rally on Sunday and law enforcement did not enforce the edict because they banned guns for 30 days. They did not enforce this edict. And now even law enforcement is kind of backing away from this. We're going to dive into all of that. That is a huge deep dive. You need to be aware of it, because I think it's a test. And I'll talk more about that here coming up. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188, or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188, or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So under Bidenomics, childcare now costs over $1,000 more than public college tuition on average in the United States. That's according to a new report from Net Credit. The report researched the average annual fees paid for public and private college tuition and the average cost of childcare in each U.S. state, and then calculated the difference in yearly fees paid for childcare and in-state college tuition. And then they compared those costs to local average salaries to find the affordability of childcare and in-state tuition in every state. And what they discovered, it's a heck of a lot more. In fact, in Hawaii, annual childcare costs almost $16,000 more a year than a year of in-state public college tuition. And that in Utah, interestingly, that's where childcare is most affordable. And a lot of this is due to Bidenomics. You're right. You're correct. 19-year-old Coco Gauff wins the title. Praise on the court. ESPN cut away because heaven forbid you show a prayer. She's been very open about her faith. Seems pretty obvious she was saying a prayer. She took a moment of soaking it all in after her first Grand Slam title. And then what do? They turn away after she... I mean, she's there praying and they decide to... They just turn away. That seems... I mean, I think that's part of the victory, and I think that you owe it to the athletes to show that. I'm just saying. In California, you know how they've been pushing reparations? Yeah, well, okay. Apparently, California voters, by a 2-to-1 margin, oppose it. UC Berkeley. Now, this is Berkeley that conducted the survey. It's their Institute of Governmental Studies that was co-sponsored by, well, they worked with the LA Times on this. They found that 60% of voters oppose reparations compared to 28% who support the idea. And I think they were actually shocked. And they said that more than almost half of the voters, because you get to strongly oppose or just oppose. So it was 60% oppose, but it was like 50% that strongly opposed. That's crazy because it's California. So they're not maybe totally all the way gone. Just saying. This is the stuff that's coming out of this just looks more and more insane. Marines in Kabul were ordered to pick up human feces and trash at the airport after they lost their 13 other service members during that horrendous botched withdrawal. This is according to a new book that's out, Kabul, The Untold Story of Biden's Fiasco. And they said just days after, that's the assignment that they were given. Unbelievable. So coming up, we've got a lot to get into. We are going to deep dive into the New Mexico governor's edict. Stay with us. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time. And the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations. And this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights? I took an oath to uphold those too. And if we ignore this growing problem without being bold, I've said to every other New Mexican, your rights are subrogated to theirs. And they are not, in my view.
Hmm. So that's New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. And welcome back to the show, by the way. Dana Lash with you. This all unfolded over the weekend. And she also said in that, and I have all of this up at Substack, chapter and verse, and I have a whole bunch of stuff coming at you too, so you don't want to miss it. But she had said, even at one point, that she, in talking about her public health emergency, she had even said that her oath to the Constitution is, quote, not absolute. So she says that there's a public health emergency. Gun violence is made a public health emergency in New Mexico. So let me explain this edict that she pushed out. It is a ban on all open and concealed carry. And it actually applies to, it's statewide, but here's the caveat. It's geared towards cities with high violent crime rates. And currently, according to their criteria, only Albuquerque actually qualifies. So even though it's a statewide mandate, only Albuquerque really is being impacted. And she said she's going to review the ban after 30 days to determine whether or not the ban will continue. You know, like 15 days to slow the spread, right? Now, according to the, and I have the all of the exclusions in here. She says they have in there, oh, there's several exceptions, they say. There's several exceptions in this. They say that the public health order, because again, that's how they're classifying this. The public health order does not impact private property, licensed firearm dealers, fire ranges, blah, blah, blah. Anybody traveling between those locations must store their guns in a locked container or safety box. They say it doesn't apply to law enforcement. And they said the regulation of licensing and licensing division will conduct monthly inspections of the blah, blah, blah. That's already with FFLs. They say that no firearms, you know, we already know that you can't have firearms on schools because that's 30 years. It's been federal law. They said that also parks, that's new. So they've added parks, basically all public places. You can't conceal or open carry. And in her remarks that she gave, the justifications that she used for this, she mentioned a 5-year-old who was fatally shot while asleep in a motorhome. She also mentioned a 13-year-old who was killed as well, and then an 11-year-old that was critically wounded when they got hit with bullets after people left a game at a baseball stadium. Now, here's the thing. They're still, I think, looking for the suspect with the 11-year-old fatality, but they have no... There's no evidence at all whatsoever to support the, she's begging the question here that it's anybody that has a license to carry or concealed carry holder permit, because there's zero evidence that concealed carry holder permits are any way responsible for this. But furthermore, the 5-year-old who was struck and killed, that was done by teenagers. The 13-year-old girl was shot and killed by a 14-year-old boy. These are already teenagers, and they are considered prohibited possessors because they are not old enough to purchase and carry a handgun. The 5-year-old, obviously the group of teenagers were in illegal possession of a firearm. They committed a drive-by. The 13-year-old was charged with homicide, and the parent from whom they got the firearm was charged under pre-existing negligence law, which is why you don't need, negligence law covers all this other stuff. You don't need additional laws for this. At no point does concealed carry factor into any of these crimes, and there's no evidence that it does so. So if prohibited persons are willfully violating the law to illegally carry, banning all carry is not going to have any effect at all, except only on innocent people's ability to defend themselves. Now, they keep saying, oh, it's the crime rate. This is what the left loves to do. Just like they wanted to try to use a public health emergency as a way to control whether or not you can that you can collect rent, they while still paying taxes in your mortgage. Public health emergencies, these edicts are so abused. Under a public health emergency, you had to be shuttered up in your home for a year and your business had to be closed. This is why the left constantly wants to proclaim anything related to firearms as a quote unquote public health emergency when it's a criminal issue. Case in point, at no time does Grisham talk about what's contributing to the rising crime rate in New Mexico and in specifically Albuquerque. So the now Attorney General of New Mexico, his name is Raul Torres. He used to be the DA in Albuquerque. And right when the crime wave was starting to spike, then Albuquerque Police Chief Gordon Eden had said that the recent spike was specifically due because of the case management order they said that went into effect back in 2015. They said the state Supreme Court order that affected the Albuquerque area was aimed, this is restorative justice, aimed at reducing the population in jail by moving cases through the courts more quickly. This is a direct quote from Eden when he's describing this in the in an Associated Press interview. He says, quote, with the case management order, we started to see cases being dismissed by the district attorney's office and started to see the jail population decrease. Quite frankly, what I think happened here is there were too many decisions being made in the criminal justice system, and it's created a real perfect storm for our state and the second judicial district, end quote. So you have the DA, who, by the way, was Soros backed to the tune of six figures, and I provided the link to all those donations on my Substack. You have the DA who is busy dismissing cases right and the left, and this clueless governor who wants to pretend that she doesn't understand why crime is on the rise. Now, the new DA isn't any better. So Torres is now the Attorney General of New Mexico. The new DA in Albuquerque is a Grisham hand-picked Democrat establishment stooge who was one time accused of directing staffers to publish stolen emails of the former governor, Susana Martinez, who's a Republican and a female, that included receipts about her underwear purchases. He got in a lot of trouble for that. That's the current DA, just in case you wanted to know. And what's more, because of course, you know, there's a lot more. Tim Keller is the mayor. He is the mayor of Albuquerque. What do you think that they've been spending taxpayer dollars on in Albuquerque? Because, you know, you have this increase in crime, right? You have an increase in crime and you have businesses that are saying we need additional protection. We're worried about this. We need additional protection. They're saying, I mean, and everybody's been saying they were looking at how Torres is, you know, his restorative justice increased the crime wave. So Democrat policies on restorative justice increased the crime wave. Businesses were begging for additional protection. And then how do Democrats respond to this? So Tim Keller, let me pull this up. So Tim Keller and the Democrat City Council in Albuquerque gave $250,000. This is an actually, this was reported just in August of last year. They gave $250,000 to Planned Parenthood. This is taxpayer dollars. At the exact same time, businesses were begging for an expansion in police protection. And do you want to know what the Democrat response was to that? To all of these businesses who were begging for additional police protection due to the high crime rate brought on by the Soros-backed restorative justice DA? The mayor of Albuquerque actually told them that if they want police protection, they need to pay a little bit more. That's racketeering. You're creating this is not even hurt and rescue. This is just hurt and hurt. You're creating a problem with your policies that are disproportionately penalizing these businesses that are just trying to add your tax revenue. And you're told that if they want police protection, they need to pay for additional police protection. This is June 23rd of last year. From the conservative New Mexican, who was also citing a couple of local reports on this. They said that Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller is telling business owners, if you want greater police presence in the crime-infested downtown area, you got to foot the bill. Via the Albuquerque Journal and the conservative New Mexican, he proclaimed at a press conference that downtown's going to do something different. He was talking about their targeted enforcement action monitoring. But he said, look, you know, you need to get some funding because we don't have the funding here. But at the exact same time, literally a month later, they announced that they were giving six figures of taxpayer dollars, $250,000 to Planned Parenthood. That's $250,000 that could have gone towards exactly what these businesses were asking for and city residents in Albuquerque. So they refused to take responsibility for the crime that their policies helped create. And they instead shifted the blame onto the businesses. Oh, I haven't even begun. There's so much more. There's so much more here. You have not just, you know, the former police chief there. You have a bunch of other attorneys and citizens who were all going at the former DA, Torres, and I told you the new DA is not any better. They actually had a standing order. They weren't going to prosecute a lot of misdemeanors. What do you think is going to happen when you're dismissing cases for repeat offenders and then not prosecuting other just misdemeanors? What do you think is going to happen? You're giving everybody a pass to commit crimes. This is, again, it's another Soros-infested blue city. And so Grisham's response is to ban all carry. So punishing the innocent for the crimes of the criminals. And what's more, she even admits that she knows that criminals are not going to follow this. She says she knows that criminals are not going to follow this law. She says that she hopes it's a resounding message, though. She goes, quote, "The point here is that if everyone did it and I wasn't legally challenged, you would have fewer risks on the street." Seriously? Now, I saw a couple of people out there pointing out that some of the, like Ted Lieu and some of these other anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment grifter activists out there, they were saying, oh, no, you can't do this. This is a bad move for Grisham. So you had Ted Lieu and a couple of these other anti-Second Amendment grifters out there saying this. You need to be very careful about that because I don't believe them. They're only doing this because, one, they want to make it seem as though they are sensible gun control activists and they want to get you to lower your guard. But then also Grisham's move, number two, blows their strategy of ban via incremental moves, and it puts everybody on alert. I mean, some of these people, you know, Democrats suddenly acting like they care about rights. They had zero complaints about using public health emergencies to enact due process eliminating red flag law. They didn't care about it when they were closing down your businesses and keeping your kids shut inside the house for a year. And a lot of these same people previously called for all-out bans. So I don't consider them as anywhere near being sincere about this, and neither should you. Now, I have a lot more on this to come. Because it's pretty amazing when you look at this stunt, because it could actually, it's actually typically when this happens, crime increases. And we're going to talk about this and the legal challenge. Brune and Heller completely make a mockery of what she's doing. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It is evening, isn't it? This round the world in 5 days is interesting. Well, you know, there's that one of my staff members said, remember the famous song, Good Morning Vietnam? Well, good evening, Vietnam.
Oh my God, that's so
funny. And good morning back in America.
And where the hell am I? That was the president speaking. Guys, it's so bad. Can we just, everybody please just stop? Here's why I'm concerned. Republican or Democrat, I do not want the leader of the free world to look weak. Because that's dangerous. If you have a weak looking president, it is dangerous. You have to realize that the leader of the country is the, for better or worse, and disagree with it all you want, but that doesn't change the truth of it, is the avatar of that country. They are representing that nation. And if they look feeble and they got to shuffle around, they don't know really where the hell they are. They ramble on about dog-faced pony soldiers. It doesn't look good. And I don't like it because it's just weak. And I think it's dangerous to have, it's just bad. This dude cannot run again, guys. He cannot run again. So what are Democrats to do? I mean, I know that some of them are like, oh, Kamala could do it. Democrats don't even like this woman. They do not like her. So what, Gavin Newsom? Granted, there are Democrats that don't like him. And he's got a lot of baggage because of the lockdowns. And then he was at French Laundry on Cali and the rail system. That should just end him already. But he's, you know, different. So he's got, you know, he's insulated from this. But that's really it. They don't got anybody else. They have not groomed anyone else. Who they can have? Amy Klobuchar? She's probably, her negatives are just as high as Kamala's. There's this, a plethora of just unlikable Democrat women. So what are they going to do? It's bad. We got coming up in our second hour, we're going to talk to the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association. 4 federal suits now filed against New Mexico's governor over that unconstitutional gun ban. We're going to break that down for you. Also, the latest with immigration and the legal challenges, too, by the way, to that New Mexico thing. Kurt Schlichter is going to help us and walk through that as well. And the epic fail of Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm's EV road trip. You don't want to miss it. Stick with us. Second hour on the way.
I don't get up every morning and exercise. Joe Biden gets up and exercises. I don't have to work 12, 15-hour days. Joe Biden is working 12, 15-hour days. Joe Biden has shown that he's up for the job, willing to do the job. But is it an X factor? Yes. Should people be concerned? Of course. We should be concerned every day about our health and our vitality. But Democrats also understand that Joe Biden has the experience to lead, and he has the commitment to serve the American people. So while it might be an X factor, there are other factors that will also come under consideration when we go to the polls some 420 days from now.
So Donna Brazile, who is saying, oh, you know, he gets up every day and exercises. I don't know if I believe that. Does he look like he does? I mean, yeah, we played just last hour all that stuff for you from his Vietnam remarks, and they're a little nuts. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash here. They're making excuses. They're making excuses for him. And I'm not trying to be catty about it, but guys, I mean, good night. He was so all over the place that they cut him off even in mid-sentence. He's there at this was just yesterday evening, and he's there. One more time, I'm gonna play this for you real quick. This is audio soundbite 4. They cut him off in the middle of his remarks because it was so bad. Listen to this.
We talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
You came up with me. Thank you, everybody. This ends the count press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
How weird is that? It's and then the music that played. What is that? Tinkling of the ivories. And then he kind of yells. Guys, it's so weird. And then he walks off. It's so weird. The music that played after reminded me. Okay, so quick, talking with my hands. Quick sidebar. So the music that they played after, it reminded me of this time when I grew up in St. Louis, and there was a mall. Those of you who live in Missouri and who are familiar with South County. Kane's out till Wednesday. Otherwise, he'd be right in there and be like, yeah, and he'd be hollering. So South County Mall, when I was younger, that was like the mall to go to until they really like got the Galleria going and then the West County Mall. But back when people still really went to malls. So I was a little kid, and I remember one Christmas when my mom took me to the mall to go Christmas shopping, which always started out as like an amazing day, and it descended into hell because she's one of those people with her lists, and then she has to go through stores and touch everything and then she goes through everything and then thinks about it, makes her decision, and then goes back again, like goes back and doubles down. And she gets everything done like in one day, and it's exhausting. But I remember we were there and they had, I guess, for the Christmas season, this pianist that was there playing. They would start off playing like keys like that before they would go into like a Christmas song. And I just remember thinking how funny it was because it was so chaotic. The mall was so chaotic. And then they would start playing, you know, the piano in the middle of the mall. And I was like, that's such a fancy shopping experience. But it was so weird. It just reminded me of that when I heard that when I heard the piano start up, it was just so awkward. He doesn't look good. He doesn't look good. It doesn't look good on the world stage. We look weaker for it. And I don't know. He's on his way to Alaska. Have we seen him, though, since at all today? I don't think we've seen him at all today. Have we? It's weird. It's 9/11. It's a 22 years of 9/11. It's odd. So the other, we're talking about a number of things here. I'm going to hit on one more thing, and then we're going to go into some of the legalities that you can expect with regards to the Albuquerque thing. Because I have a theory on that. So I saw this over at the Hill. Key House GOP lawmaker says Tuberville is paralyzing the Defense Department. Okay. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's some Democrat. No, no, no. It's Michael McCaul of Texas. The House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul said that, he said this yesterday, that Tuberville is holding the confirmations of more than 300 military officers and it's paralyzing the Defense Department. He went, this Republican, Michael McCaul of Texas, went on CNN to bitch about Republicans. Michael McCaul of Texas. He goes, runs to CNN's State of the Union, and he says, quote, this is paralyzing the Department of Defense. The idea that one man in the Senate can hold this up for months, I understand maybe promotions, but nominations is paralyzing the Department of Defense, said McCaul. That's a direct quote. What's interesting is that McCaul, who says that this is a national security problem, had no such criticism for the Democrats who slipped a poison pill into the bill. It's the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. It is an annual defense policy package. Now, maybe you aren't familiar with it, which wouldn't be surprising because it has not, up until now, been controversial. So maybe you haven't seen it in the news because it hasn't been controversial, because no one has decided to play politics with it until Democrats chose this moment and that bill to slip in taxpayer-funded abortion as birth control for military. Okay. Wait, the same Democrats that fought to keep birth control from being over the counter? Yes, you're right. The same Democrats that fought to keep you from being able to access over-the-counter birth control are the same Democrats that decided, oh no, instead we want over-the-counter abortion on demand as birth control. Both of those moves benefit Planned Parenthood, who are big supporters and donors to Democrats. And as you know, they get, what is it, billions of dollars every single year, Planned Parenthood, of our taxpayer dollars. So it's a money laundering organization and we're forced to fund it. So it's interesting that Michael McCaul, M-C-C-A-U-L, for those outside of Texas, Michael McCaul had no criticism for Democrats when they decided to slip in this poison pill of demanding taxpayer-funded abortion. But he only got upset when another Republican stood up against it. That sounds like a damn Democrat, doesn't it? I mean, to me it does. McCall did not go out and criticize Democrats for choosing this bill to make an abortion for birth control stand on. He didn't criticize them and accuse them of holding up nominations. He didn't accuse them of creating a national security concern. No. He just accused Tuberville. I would like for Michael McCall to explain why he thinks we should rubber stamp as taxpayers something like that. And Tuberville is correct. It is a violation of the Hyde Amendment. That's the rule that prohibits federal funding from being used for abortion. Although if you want to pretend money isn't fungible, but for the purposes of this, I'm going to go along with it. And it's been a 6-month hold on these confirmations. Democrats were the ones who decided to politicize it. And so why did they choose to do that? If you want to have a discussion about who is or who isn't creating a national security concern, I would just think that doing this is the thing that's creating the national security concern. Shame on Michael McCall for being silent when Democrats decided to make the NDAA, which has always been passed by with bipartisan support. It's not never been controversial until Democrats decided to do this, withholding his criticism only when Republicans said no and refused to rubber stamp Democrats' poison pill in this. What side of the aisle is McCall on? He needs to drop that R after his name. Now, coming up at the bottom of the hour, there are 4 federal lawsuits now currently that have been filed against the New Mexico governor over this gun ban. And it is, she is not going to prevail in court on this. This is not going to happen. I mean, first and foremost, Heller reaffirmed again our Second Amendment rights. The New York case, Bruen, also reaffirmed it. And in the Bruen case with New York, that state conceded, this is part of the ruling, that the general had a right to carry. And remember, New York was saying that you couldn't carry, be it open or concealed. And that is something that previously case law has said you can't restrict both. You have to offer one or the other, because offering none is a restriction of a right that you do not have the ability or authority to restrict. And in fact, after they went to the Supreme Court with the Bruen case, the court held that New York had failed to make its case, that New York had failed to demonstrate that its law was in anywhere consistent with our national historic tradition of firearm regulation on carry. So Bruen completely blows her argument here out of the water. And in the Bruen case is the New York Rifle. You have the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Inc. versus Bruen. That's the case. And New York had the requirement. They were trying to say you had to prove a need to carry. And they weren't even going to let you carry even if you had a special need. It was unconstitutional. Because the New York, and this is so similar, there's no way going by the arguments made in New York, it's essentially the same arguments that New Mexico was making. There's no way that this survives any kind of legal scrutiny at all whatsoever. Now, she could say, well, it's temporary. You know, like 15 days to slow the spread. It's temporary. But that's not an argument either. Because you're arguing that, oh, there's too much violent crime, therefore we have to disarm people and render them unable to defend themselves, when they already have admitted they don't have law enforcement to do so. As per my previous story with you in our last hour, when businesses were demanding enhanced police protection and Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller was saying that they don't have the ability to do so. But if businesses wanted increased police protection that was brought on by, you know, the actions of their restorative justice policies, that they would have to pay more, i.e. racketeering. It's been working. We're going to talk about this here even more coming up, because one of the individuals involved in this, in fact, it's the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association. They're going to be joining us to talk about this further. So there's a lot here. But I do think, as I said, I think it's a test run. They're trying to see what the response would be. I'm just speculating here. It's kind of my tinfoil theory.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, two more victims of the 9/11 World Trade Center attacks were identified by using cutting-edge DNA, the first in 2 years. New York City officials identified the remains of two more victims. It was a man and a woman. Their names are being withheld, but they said the positive identifications are the first since September of 2021. And they said they've been progressing and honing their DNA sequencing techniques to test body fragments recovered in the rubble. And so they said that they've now been able, through the New York City Medical Examiner, to link remains to over 1,600 World Trade Center victims using this cutting-edge DNA sequencing technique. That's pretty amazing. And in fact, remember I told you last month that the scientist, the doctor who was involved in this was actually using those techniques to identify victims in the Maui fires as well. So that's two more. Scientists say that this is weird, that the classic Southern American accent is dying out. They say Gen X is partly to blame. Wait, don't you blame Gen X? Hold up. They say the study is based on Georgians from 19th century to 2000s. So they say that the South American accent is synonymous with a number of Hollywood blockbusters and a whole bunch of other stuff, but maybe perhaps not anymore. They said the most notable change between boomers and then Gen X is when the accent starts falling off in Gen X. They said people have been shifting away from the traditional Southern pronunciation for the last few generations. This is done from a study through the University of Georgia. And they said college students today don't sound like their parents, and they didn't sound like their parents. And they've been listening to speech patterns. They said that older speakers have a thick Southern drawl. Current college students, even if they grew up in the area and their family did too, they're different. Their drawls are different. And for instance, like prize, older Georgians pronounce it as praz and face as face, but the youngest use prize and face. So it's like it's very different. Very, very interesting. So I wonder why. And a passenger's flight to New Zealand, they said that it was ruined because they sat next to a snorting, farting, emotional support dog for 13 hours. It was a Frenchie, and the Frenchie was adorable. Stop. Coming up next, New Mexico Shooting Sports Association on Governor Grisham.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. Oh. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights? I took an oath to uphold those two.
Oh my gosh.
And if we ignore this growing problem without being bold, I've said to every other New Mexican,
so here's the thing. So this is the New Mexico governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham. She's trying to throw to that Schenck case on free speech, which I can't believe people are still trying. It's the whole shouting fire in a crowded theater thing. You can say it. There's just liability for speech that can be proved maliciously done in court. I mean, that's a whole other thing. I don't think this woman understands the scope of her job. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast on an affiliate in your market. You can also watch the live stream of the show, YouTube, Facebook, the simulcast on channel 347, DirecTV. She mentions the 11-year-old. There's no evidence to show that there was a concealed carry permit holder that was involved in that. And the other examples that she gave, well, those were teenagers. And she even admits that she knows criminals aren't going to follow this. I'm just curious as to why she's citing her DA's lack of prosecuting these cases as a public emergency. Why wasn't she speaking out then? There are four suits, as I understand it, that have been filed against this governor And one of those, as I understand it, is being brought by New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, whose president, Josh Grossclose, joins us now via Skype. Josh, good to have you. Thanks for fighting the good fight in New Mexico. This was a shocking thing to see over the weekend. I mean, this is a this isn't hyperbole. She actually suspended the Second Amendment.
Yes, she did. And it really was a shock. But I think some of us saw it coming. We just didn't see how big of a scope it would be. Currently, we are actually looking at filing a lawsuit, but the other four have been Gun Owners of America, and then I believe Firearms Policy Coalition was one, and then two individuals have also filed at the federal level. We're looking at filing at the state level.
And and I was reading earlier to everybody who was listening, like the exceptions, if you want to say that, because really, I mean, it's statewide, but the way that they put the parameters, it's really only kind of applicable to Albuquerque. But how is this? I mean, it doesn't look like it's enforced. I saw the open carry rally yesterday and police weren't enforcing this edict.
Yeah, the Bernalillo County Sheriff has said that they would not enforce that. Because they took from a snippet of what Bernalillo County Sheriff said was he took an oath to defend the Constitution and he would not violate other people's constitutional rights to carry. Same with APD. Their officers are not enforcing this as well. Both of them have stated that it would be a state police issue for them to enforce. And there's a good amount of state police that have said that they wouldn't enforce it, but there are some that said, push comes to shove, they would. In that case, I imagine there would be definite grounds for a lawsuit. But so far, most people have said, we're not going to listen, we're not going to comply, shall not be infringed. Our state constitution directly states that we have the right to carry, or the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense, sport, and hunting.
Right.
It directly states that Article 2, Section 6. And the governor cannot, it also states in that same one that no governmental entity should or has the ability to restrict that.
And I know we're talking with Josh Grossclose, who's the president of the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, and you can find them at NM_SSA on Twitter or X now. I went back and I was looking at when the crime rate, and I'm sure you're familiar with all of this, but for those who aren't, when the crime rate started to spike, I mean, this goes back to like 2014. I was looking at the DA in Albuquerque dismissing cases right and left. The police chief at the time, Gordon Needham, had said, the way that they have the structure for this process, they're allowing these people to walk because they're just trying to funnel it through as quickly as possible. And you can pretty much pinpoint the rise in crime with the way that the DA was handling stuff in Albuquerque. And then the mayor, Tim Keller, tells businesses that, yes, if you're worried about, you know, the security of your business, you can pay a little bit extra to police or to us. And if you want that expanded protection, that sounds like racketeering. I mean, that would be, if anybody else, it'd be racketeering.
Yes, it would be. The crime problems with Albuquerque have only skyrocketed since going back a little bit, even before that. When you look at how many, a lot of the issue is, yes, it started in 2014, but it's really skyrocketed since. And lately it's really taken off because of the lax penalties on crime and enforcement on crime, as well as the open borders have contributed to a lot of people coming in and going back and committing these same crimes. A lot of these people that are committing these aren't even from here originally.
Wow.
And it all circles back to that whole drug trade as well. When you look further into it, we've got wide open border. We have failure of Democrat policies to be strict on crime. We've got revolving door of repeat criminals. I know one of the things she said, like you've mentioned before, is the 11-year-old. That was a road rage incident by some most definitely not a law-abiding citizen
right.
of New Mexico who actually cares about others. Most people I know that carry, as well as own firearms, we do everything we can to avoid having to use them. And to see it used, to see a firearm used in such senseless ways, it looks bad. It makes us look bad, and we're still made to be the bad guys.
You work very hard to develop a specific skill set that you hope to never use. It's like the only discipline where that actually applies. You hope to never actually use the skills that you accumulate. Do you think that she's going to be impeached? Because I know that there's every state kind of has a different process of how they go about it. There's a lot of talk on this. You know, New Mexico. What do you think?
I believe I know there are talks of impeachment coming from some of our senators and representatives at the local level. As far as where that goes from here on out, the problem is getting the support of Democrats. Mm. That is the issue, is getting the support of the Democrat side. And there's a lot of Democrats that support Grisham. Some of them live in my own district. One of them is my representative, who is known to be very anti-gun, who introduced a bill this last late legislative session to ban almost every firearm that has a capacity of 15 or more, which is standard for most handguns.
Yeah, that's most everything. Yeah, I from what I understand too, isn't there was, whether it was from Keller or the DA, wasn't there kind of a standing order to not prosecute a lot of these misdemeanors? They just decided if it doesn't meet this level, we're not going to go after it.
That's part of it, was the standing order. You can actually look and so that was a major part. And then just the judges themselves are just refusing to see a lot of these cases because of whether it's great nephew or somewhere along the line. They know their mother or grandparent or something like that and grew up with them. These judges have a history of being way too lenient, and it's only gotten worse under the current Democrat leadership.
And that restorative justice, talking with New Mexico Shooting Sports Association President Josh Grossclose. Because I know they said 30 days they're going to reevaluate this. It's like 15 days to slow the spread. So in 30 days, they're going to reevaluate this to see if it continues. Does this even make it 30 days? I just can't, because I know that if this gets into a courtroom with Bruin and with Heller, there's no way that this survives legal scrutiny. But you're stuck in this limbo until that point. So what do you do from now until then?
They can't arrest everybody. And we, like I said, we are looking at filing a suit of our own. Not quite able to go into detail on that.
Right, right.
But in terms of what everybody else should do, contact your local, contact your senators and your representatives and tell them to join the movement to get this executive order removed and to put a stop to MLG. She has clearly overstepped her bounds, and one thing we found in the last legislative session was the people are what really drive the force behind action in this state. The locals are what are the backbone of action in the state. And so the more people we have that can contact their senators, representatives, and tell them, like, hey, reach out, tell MLG to stop, tell the governor to stop. This is not good, because it only affects law-abiding citizens.
Right. And criminals.
She even admitted. Yeah, she even admitted. I doubt criminals will follow it. So why do you want all of us? What's the point if they're not going to follow it? They're a criminal for a reason. That's where we're at on what we can.
Well, we're going to watch this, and I'm hoping for a swift and actually constitutional outcome here. It's insane that it even got to this point. Josh Grossclose, thank you for what you do in New Mexico and the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association for helping to keep watch for law-abiding people who just don't want to be made into soft targets for criminals. We appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Real quick, if anyone's interested in helping out, we are taking donations in order to help out with not just us, but some of the other groups that are filing these suits.
Yes.
So you can go to nmssa.org, and in the menu selection button, there is a donations selection. You can go in there and donate.
We'll make sure we do that and highlight that as well. Thank you for putting that out there. Josh, thanks so much. We'll check back in. Take care.
You too.
Folks, as we wrap up the bottom of this particular hour, and we'll make sure we have that URL out for you as well, and I'll send that out in the Substack newsletter, chapter and verse, because that's the thing. You're in this limbo period. You heard him talk about this. I mean, you, from the moment that you file suit until there's actual relief via, you know, the order is, you know, the edict is, you know, declared unconstitutional, et cetera. And a quick note on that, using public health emergencies, you saw the CDC slam down for that. How many times does this have to be defeated? I mean, you have Bruin, you have Heller, you have the case with the CDC, and that was the rent moratorium. I mean, every single aspect of this edict has already been struck down in court. So there's no way that it survives legal scrutiny, but it's getting it to that point. And then you're in this purgatory. Until then, I like what he said. You can't arrest everybody. True. As we get moving, folks, and we got a Florida man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida grandmother is told she's got to tear down her Miami treehouse that she has lived in for lived in for 17 years. They've given her $40,000 in fines over unsafe construction, despite the fact that she claims her claustrophobia makes living indoors impossible. 72-year-old Shawnee Chasser, she's complying with Miami-Dade. I was looking at the tree. It doesn't look really unsafe. It just looks like a tree. It doesn't actually look unsafe. It does not. She looks like a hippie who lives in a hobbit tree. That's honestly what it looks like. It actually looks very, I'm going to say it, it looks very well constructed. Leave her alone. Who is the busybody out here being like, oh, no, it's for your own safety? Government is bad for your own safety. If we have seen anything, ladies and gentlemen, over the past 40 years or Wago Ruby Ridge, I mean, if we've seen any of this, we know that government actually can be dangerous to one's health. So she's going to tear it down. They said she didn't have proper permits. You wouldn't even see it in her backyard unless you were there, because her backyard is pretty wooded. I mean, it legit has like a thatched roof. It's like a total, it's so dumb. It is so dumb. She rents her house out and then she lives in her treehouse. So she's like having to raise money because she can't even afford to tear it down. I would make them do it personally. I mean, you can't even see it in her yard. That's just somebody being nosy. Some people are so stupid. A Florida man captured and wrestled. He wrestled an iguana and he won. I bet the iguana was mad. Just got to say, it's a huge iguana. It's a green iguana. They're not native to Florida. So they can be captured and humanely killed because they're considered to be a kind of a pest. People actually in parts of South Florida have started cooking it. What? Florida Wildlife Agency encouraged people to kill them on their own property. And there's literally iguana meat recipes and people say it tastes delicious. And I'm not there yet. I'm not on that train yet. I mean, I just, you know, no. Would any of y'all eat iguana? No. Steve, would you eat iguana? He has never been so aggressive in a response ever. So anyway, this one guy, he caught an iguana, managed to pull it down, and the iguana tried to scuttle away, thought it made an escape. But this dude, I mean, he lives on the edge. He literally fought the reptile in the water. It's huge. And you can see the picture in the simulcast. And he ended up winning. So, oh my gosh. And let's see. A Florida man admits to using fake credit and debit cards. Why? And then there's this. Here, let me get this one. This Florida man, Miami Herald, dragged a Florida fisherman down the road in Bradenton They had an argument on charges related to a hit-and-run crash. The 60-year-old got into an argument with Freddie Gilliland. And then apparently neighbors heard tires squealing, and they dragged this guy 300 feet down the road. And they went to trial. He ended up getting arrested. The sentencing hearing has been set for Friday, October 13th. I mean, 60 and 64, so why? It's two old dudes getting mad over a hit and run. Just like figure it out nicely. Go wrestle an iguana. That seemed to let that other fellow's aggression out. We got a whole other hour on the way. Stick with us.
Well, our focus the last couple days has been on President Biden here in South Asia. And when I asked a White House official why it is that President Biden was here and missing the 9/11 commemorations at the attack sites, the analogy that I was given is that 22 years after Pearl Harbor, U.S. presidents were not still going to visit Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh. That is as bad as I kept seeing it referred to as on social. Oh, my gosh. That's new. That's just this afternoon. Well, actually, we've been on air. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you. Listen, coast to coast, find the stream as well of the nationally syndicated radio program on YouTube and Facebook. Always good discussion happening on YouTube. The simulcast, also 347 Direct TV. It's the channel. I saw this, you know, we were on break. This was picking up, like, why wasn't the president in New York City on 9/11? And someone was saying, oh, wait till you hear this horrible take. And it is as absolutely as bad. You know, sometimes you see something and it's not as bad as it's advertised. Oh, no, this is as bad as advertised. How tone deaf. Oh, my. Well, you know, the analogy that is 22 years after Pearl Harbor, presidents were still not going to visit Hawaii. You probably know why, though. Maybe it makes people think of how he let 13 service members die in Afghanistan. Just wondering. I mean, this is... He wanted to make 9/11 like a photo op last year. And then now he's what? Now he's acting like it doesn't... This is so bad. It is so bad. There's just no other way. And it looks incredibly tone deaf and disrespectful. You're pointing to something that happened 80-something years ago and trying to act like, well, you know, because they don't go there, then that... No. You know why? Maybe, I think one of the reasons, too, why he probably doesn't want to be there. Didn't 9/11 families... let me pull this up from... yes, this is... So I had this. This is a piece that I had. This was from August of 2021. And it was an NBC piece. And the headline is 9/11 families to President Biden, don't come to our memorial events. 1,800 victims, relatives, first responders, and survivors are calling on Biden to refrain from attending their events over his refusal to release September 11th documents. Couple that with, remember how he called the Saudis pariahs? What did he do the night before? Literally last night, what was he doing? Yes, I know he was giving his weird speech about Vietnam, but he was shaking hands with the Saudi royal leader. That kind of complicates his narrative that he wanted to make Saudi Arabia a pariah. Remember that? And that he was going to go after the Saudi royal leader. Remember all of that tough talk? And then now he went with hat in hand begging for, may I please have some more oil? And then now shaking his hand and all of that. That kind of complicates it a little bit too, don't you think? Just shocking and inexcusable. It's just, I am almost without words. I don't know. I was thinking about all of this morning, because this morning looks so much different. I mean, I would imagine it looks different, obviously, for everyone. I don't mean to, you know, be obvious, but To me, this morning is so incredibly different than the one 22 years ago, because I've written about this years, you know, before, and how my oldest son now was just 6 months old, and I was 21 years old. He was 6 months old, and he was playing in a blanket on the floor, and we were watching all of this stuff come down. I was a newlywed, and it was weird. It was weird being a young parent during that time, because everything felt uncertain and you didn't feel secure. It was very odd being a young parent at that time. And I wrote about how I saw that there existed in this world a threat bigger than ear infections, a threat bigger than outgrowing clothes quickly, a threat bigger than anything for which I or others could have prepared. And we can only speak for our own perspectives that day. I know mine was fundamentally changed. My life path changed. My trajectory changed. My living room extended beyond the walls of my home and went to both coasts and both all the borders and everything else. And sometime after, I took my kids to D.C. and we saw the World Trade Center wreckage. And it was just weird having, you know, my kids there, my oldest, who was born at the time, looking at the wreckage. And he was just a baby when all of it was made. And it made me think of Reagan's quote about freedom and parenthood. He'd said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we'll spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free. See, that's what makes the United States and being an American so different. You choose it. And I loved I have a piece in there. You need to go read it over at Substack, because I have a couple of good quotes in there from some writers that I really enjoyed their words at the time too. But I don't like the fact that the president wasn't there. And I don't think that it's petty. It's not new for all of us who remember. It's not new for people like me who really was fast-tracked into politics because of this. Because it made me angry. You bring a child into the world and then 6 months old before his first birthday, and then this is the stuff you're seeing on television. And then a lot of those kids that were his age went up to go and fight continually in the prolonged conflict that ensued after. It's not new for the parents of the 13 service members who lost their children, or the husbands or wives who lost their spouses, or kids who lost their parents as they were there at the Abbey Gate in Afghanistan, the disastrous withdrawal from Kabul, all because this president wanted to own the talking point of saying he was the guy that withdrew all of the troops from Afghanistan. And directly disregarding the advice of all of the military council, saying you will create a vacuum and it will be a tragedy. And that's exactly what happened. It's not new for those people. I will never forget, too, the number of veterans I heard from. And I have a whole piece on this that I wrote at this time after the Abbey Gate was bombed, because after that, there were a lot of veterans who were like, they were questioning what they had spent time there for. And I had written a piece saying that, you doing what you did and rooting out terrorism and just doing everything you could to prevent attacks from happening here on our U.S. soil, you allowed an entire generation, maybe the last one, to grow up knowing what security in a free country felt like, feels like. And that's a gift that nobody can give except you. And a nation is grateful. So I'm actually pretty ticked off that he wasn't there. He didn't need to go to Alaska. I think he's too damn sick and feeble. It's too soon. for a lot of us who had our entire lives shaped by it. I mean, you had the governor of Florida who said that he went in and joined the military. He went in and joined the military because of this. There were a lot of people whose lives changed. And so this is one of the most tone-deaf responses I've ever heard. And this is going to get him. This is going to bite him. It really will. I want to switch it up here and get into some of this other stuff. Oh, man. So I have some culture for you. Let's lighten it up. Can we, though? So there are two media professors, and I don't know why anyone wants to pay attention to them, but I thought it was very interesting. You get to look into the psyche of the left and kind of see what they're planning in terms of future arguments here. And they're going after zombies. Yes. Critical Studies in Media Communication. It is North Carolina Central University and Coastal Carolina University. Two professors of communication and media studies who apparently have such little to do in their lives that they decided to dive into what they say is the bigotry of zombie movies. Not making this up. I don't have the energy for this today. Scholars are saying zombies promote white supremacy. That's literally what this is. It's over at the College Fix. Hudson Crozier from University of North Texas has the byline. They talk about, for instance, one movie that gets into zombies and how they looked at this, and then they looked at a Disney zombie series. And of course, neither of these professors responded to the collegian here who was writing this piece. They're trying to say that zombies movies are, they cultivate a post-racial anti-blackness. No joke. This is literally what they're saying. And that why? I love zombie movies. So September 1st starts and it's Halloween season for me. This is the time when I can go and get my day-to-day items normally. Retired goth kid. So I watch every horror film. That's like my favorite genre. Horror films actually calm me down because I find them very relaxing because I'm always like, well, these people's situation, you know, sucks way more than anything I could ever be in. And there's something calming about that. But I'm not kidding. But I love zombie movies. The old, the new, the bad, the good. I just love it. The campy. It's just they're fun. I don't know why people have to suck the joy out of everything and make everything miserable. Like these two people. This isn't academic. It's illiberal. Like they're like, oh, like for instance, Disney's Zombie Town series. I mean, go after Disney all you want to. I dislike them. But to say that the whole zombie genre is constructed to reinforce impoverished and lower class status. Have you ever seen a zombie movie in your life? These people have never seen zombie movies ever. I don't have the energy for these people.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first and foremost, I saw this from Lorraine. I guess this isn't an insurrection. HIV protesters are occupying House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's office. Seven were arrested as they sat down or got on their knees to chant. They want money for a global AIDS program because the program that we have ends on September 30th unless it's reauthorized and everything is caught up in the abortion battle, whatever. So they're demanding that he pass it. I was told that stuff like this was an insurrection by the same people who told me that J6 was worse than 9/11 because that's what literally people have said. I mean, repeatedly in speech after speech on television. And we've played the audio for you and the video for you. Just saying. The White House Situation Room got a renovation. It's a brand new renovation. So the room, it's not really a room as much as it is kind of like a complex. The Washington Examiner broke it down. The 5,500 square foot complex of all these conference rooms. So it's where, you know, the president meets with national security officials to discuss any kind of secret ops, sensitive government matters, things like that. And they work through any kind of national security crisis. That's when the Osama bin Laden raid in 2011 was watched. You remember those photos. It was watched from the Situation Room as well as the 2019 operation that killed al-Baghdadi. And it's also where LBJ went over Vietnam War plans. Well, It's not a small update. It was a total gut renovation, and it took a year to complete. Some reporters were selected to have a rare look inside the Situation Room so they could see it. And I mean, they got like new everything, new screens, new tech, new all kinds of stuff. I mean, it still has like older things in there, but some of the furniture. But they said that there's still plenty of landline phones and no cell phones are allowed for security reasons. And that's kind of always been the rule. You should not give a Porsche to a 16-year-old. I've never understood parents who get bougie cars for their teenagers. You deserve having it totaled when they do. I don't want to hear you cry about it. There's a 16-year-old. It's sad because this was a fatality, but she crashed a Porsche that she had gotten, a Porsche. It was a two-seater. She had rear seat passengers somehow shoved in there. It was more people than needed to be. It's a horrific tragedy. They ended up losing this 16-year-old. Parents, be careful about what you give your kids to drive. Coming up, Kurt Schlichter joins us on the legality and what can be done with this New Mexico thing and the legal purgatory until there's conclusion. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
We don't agree on this at all. This is unconstitutional. And like I said, I uphold my oath seriously. As far as meaning for Albuquerque specifically, I am putting everybody else, including every other politician and everybody else as a leader within a law enforcement entity, to jump on board and work as a team. I said this last week. There was an article, and I wish this gentleman would email me. He says the mayor, the sheriff, the AGs, the chief, they all have their own separate press conferences. I read all these editorials. What are they going to do together? And that's why in the press conference when I was with the governor the other day, I said, we are all here. Bernalillo County is a problem. State of New Mexico is a problem with firearms. What do we do to stop the infiltration that are being used for violence and firearms? What can it do for Albuquerque? Show that there's a collaborative effort to stop the gun violence. That's all that we can do. Like I said, there's not a magic wand.
This was an interesting presser. Bernalillo Sheriff John Allen, he says in this press conference, we just played an excerpt of it, he says that the governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, sidelined him in the Friday press conference when she announced that she was removing the county resident. I mean, she's suspending the Second Amendment for county residents via executive order that she was basing on public health emergency. Now, he said the governor's, and he used the phrase unconstitutional order, does nothing but disarm law-abiding citizens in the most dangerous county. He says it's unconstitutional, and I take my oath seriously. Whew, we were all wondering how this was going to wash out with police, because we were all like, we back the blue when the blue responsibly enforces constitutional law. Who's going to enforce this? Joining me right now, my very good friend and attorney, all-around badass, author of the Kelly Turnbull series, Kurt Schlichter, who joins us. And, sir, always good to see you. I don't want to say that I was shocked. They're really coming out against this. I mean, this sheriff came out hard against this, saying that it was unconstitutional. He was sidelined by it. He's the first in law enforcement to say this. What's your take on it?
Well, Dana, I'm very sorry to hear that this sheriff is standing up to strip us of the opportunity to use public health orders for important conservative goals. Order number one, we must, for the children, because it's a public health emergency based on 100 million deaths, we must ban the advocacy and teaching of socialism. If you don't agree with me, Dana, you literally have the blood of a million children on your hands.
Literally.
And I know you're fastidious. You don't like that.
I like clean hands. You know this.
Exactly.
I keep the wet ones with me all the time. That's a great point.
Exactly.
That's a great point. And this sheriff, because all this Sheriff John Allen, because everybody knows the governor of New Mexico, came out, the public health emergency, she said. The public health emergency, Kurt, it seems like, is, you know, the DA... The DA gave the order that they were going to not prosecute a number of misdemeanors. The previous DA, Raul Torres, who is now the Attorney General of New Mexico, And she has a handpicked guy who's just as bad who replaced him this year. But under Torres, they had the previous chief say it was because of the fast track way that they just shoved stuff in. They wanted to decrease the jail population. So they were just running these cases through the systems, allowing a lot of these repeat offenders to walk. And it was really contributing to the spike in crime rate. Kurt, where have we seen this before? Soros-backed DAs allowing criminals to walk.
Oh, I don't know. My own hometown here in Los Angeles? Look, I mean, look, we've all seen Breaking Bad. We know New Mexico is a boiling cauldron of criminal stuff. But, you know, at some point, you know, the people of New Mexico need to stand up for themselves. I'm glad to see some of them are. And they had a great gathering of citizens the other day who brought their weapons. And they were getting and speaking. They actually invited a guy who disagreed with them up to speak. And somebody said, "We're America. We believe in free speech. What do you think?" And he was like, stunned. Look, you got to throw this governor out. But I'm actually taking a little farther in my next town hall column. Ooh. I think we should put her into federal prison. Now, again, not the rules that I would have picked. I kind of want a free country where you let people resolve their political differences as opposed to, you know, kind of an authoritarian one. But I was outvoted. And I watched a guy who used to be president being accused of conspiracy to violate right. Well, anybody working with the governor of New Mexico right about now seems to be in a conspiracy to violate rights under Section Title 18, United States Code, Section 241, maybe 242. Why not both? I love pleading in the alternative. Gives me maximum flexibility as a lawyer, and, you know, I love that. By their own standard, this woman should be not a governor, but she should be converting large rocks into smaller ones. Or becoming an expert in license plate fabrication. I don't really care. As long as she does time. Again, not my rules, Dana. I think this is a bad idea. But our democracy has made it so that my point of view has been overcome. So since we have a precedent with our last president, I think that she needs to experience it much like someone with hemorrhoids experiences a suppository.
We're talking with our friend, as you know, Kurt Schlichter, the attorney, the wordsmith, senior columnist at Town Hall. And he's got a great one out today, too. And I'm going to ask you about that. But that is, you touch on something that is truth. It is, I mean, technically, her saying that she doesn't necessarily have to, she was saying that the Constitution isn't absolute, and that also is applicable essentially to her oath to it as a public official. So that technically her infringing upon people's rights, that applies under the statute. You cited.
Look, that's what these statutes, which were to basically reign in a previous generation of Democrats who thought rights were optional, in that case, the KKK types. I mean, that's what the law says. Again, I don't think that you should stretch these kind of laws to take something that's a political act and make it criminal. You know, you could run her out of office at the next election. You could impeach her. There are plenty of things. But since they put locking her up in federal prison on the table, I say belly up.
Yeah, let's have equal application of the law, our friend Kurt Schlichter. This is what bothers me, and it angers me so much. I know that there's four federal lawsuits that have been filed now against her, and she's going to have to, yeah. I mean, they're going to be using New Mexico taxpayer dollars to fight this. But that puts everybody in this, for the lack of a better way to describe it, like this period of legal purgatory. So from the moment that this edict is issued up until the time that there's some sort of, you know, judicial resolution, I mean, technically, you can, regardless of later if it's found to be unconstitutional, you can actually, like, what are people to do within that span?
Well, look, if I was a New Mexico resident with a gun permit, and I have a gun permit that's legal in New Mexico, I am damaged because of my inability to exercise my constitutional rights. There's a monetary value to that. and let's see if you can recover it. Now, there's some issues about immunity and qualified immunity, although the immunity statutes don't always apply if it's really freaking obvious you can't do it. Okay? I think this one qualifies as really freaking obvious. I mean, look, when my own congressman, Ted Lieu.
Oh, my gosh. Ted Lieu, Dana.
Yeah, he's going. He's like, I don't know about this. Maybe that's not a great idea. With David Hogg's going,
Yeah, but they're doing it because it's blowing their cover. You know that. They're only doing that because they're realizing how bad. Like, they're supposed to do this incrementally, and she just blew it.
He was definitely off script. And, you know, the problem with these kind of crypto fascists is there's always a race to the bottom. You obtain, if you can go further in your fascism, you have a greater chance of getting on MSNBC. And, of course, there are people out there sticking up for her. You know, because of the children, it's an important thing. And, you know, rights have to give way and blah, blah, blah. And again, if that's the standard, I can't wait till Governor DeSantis proclaims a public health emergency over mutilation to conform people to their mental illness.
Right. Yeah.
Which actually is about a million times more plausible than her insane or constitutionally insane, because I don't think she's insane. I think she knew exactly what she
And she's doubling down on it, which is insane. I mean, the other that you mentioned for the children, the examples that she cited, they were carried out by children. They were teenagers who were, with the exception of the 11-year-old, that they have not found that individual yet. I mean, clearly that was not a law-abiding person who was in possession. But teenagers killing other children, that's not a concealed carry permit holder that's involved in that.
No, look, the purpose of gun control, as you have always said, is control of normal people. And letting criminals run free is another aspect of that. They want us quiet, they want us terrified, they want us disenfranchised, above all, they want us disarmed. And then, you know, we're a bunch of Australians, and it's off to the COVID camp. But, you know, I'm pretty old. You know I'm pretty old. My knees are kind of going.
No,
I was never
not.
Good. I'm old. I was never good at kneeling even before I got old. And I'm not going to do it now. Okay. I'm not going to live as a serf. I'm not going to let, you know, Governor Karen tell me how to live. It's not in the cards. It isn't going to happen. We're not doing that.
There you go. Your latest piece, our friend Kurt Schlichter, it's titled, How the Hell Do You Think Us Veterans Feel Right Now? And you get into the state of the country. This is on, I mean, I read your piece right after I saw the explainer from Peter Doocy saying that he had asked the White House, well, why didn't you go to one of the 9/11 sites? It's the first time that a president hasn't been at one of the 9/11 sites on the observance of the greatest terror attack in our nation's history. And he was told that, well, you know, it's 82 years after Pearl Harbor, presidents don't go to Pearl Harbor anymore. That was literally the excuse that he was given. I just think it's too soon. It's too soon this generation. It's too soon next generation and the generation after that. Your thoughts?
Well, look, I mean, it's no secret that they've shuffled Joe Biden off to Eskimo Anus, Alaska, to be, you know, safely out of the limelight so he doesn't further humiliate himself. But the fact is, Joe Biden does not care about our troops. Now, I had the privilege of briefly representing as an attorney the family of Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, who was closest to the bomber in Kabul. Who was killed there, a great young man, wonderful family. And Joe Biden's contempt for the Gold Star families is despicable. His disgraceful, I don't know if you would call it stolen valor, but apparently his son, Bo, who seemed a perfectly legit guy, who served a perfectly legit, but apparently he died in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think he died in Maui, too. I mean, it's just disgraceful. This guy, you know, it's not just that I disagree with this guy, and I do. He's a bad person, Dana. He's a evil, corrupt, perverted creep. And he's a disgrace. And that, you know, it comes up to, you know, it brings me back to my article in Town Hall. You know, how the hell are we that's supposed to feel? You know, when I raised my right hand, wasn't going in for the pay or the glamour. Hell, I washed trucks in my first deployment. I was going in for a lot of reasons, but one of the major ones was because I deeply believed in my country as a young guy. And as I spent many years overseas as an American Army officer, looking at other countries, living on other continents, I know this country, at least the country I grew up in, was the greatest country on earth. Now, the country right now, like we're dipping in the biorhythms. Okay, we're in the bottom right now. But I believe there's an up again. I believe we're going to come out. That, you know, I sometimes wonder, was I a fool? I mean, we're prosecuting a president. You got cops spying on churches and people at school boards. Is this the America I grew up in? And I'm like, it's not the America I grew up in, but that America is still there, and that America is still worth defending and fighting for. Amen. I do not regret serving this country. I'm proud of it, and a bunch of vets are. Hell, I got my Persian Gulf War hat up there. I should have worn it.
And we're grateful for it, too.
Oh, please. I did.
We are. I know you don't like, I'll say it every time I see you. We got to get rolling, unfortunately. I will say it every time I see you, though. Kurt Schlichter, my good friend, we do appreciate what you, thank you for doing what you did, because it allowed at least one more generation to grow up understanding the security of a free country because of the sacrifice that you gave, your time and your parts of your life. We appreciate it. The column, How the Hell Do You Think Us Veterans Feel Right Now? And of course, go find Kurt's whole Kelly Turnbull series. You can go to the schlichterarena.locals.com as well. Kurt, always appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thanks for having
give
me.
The lovely wife hello. Tell her hello for us.
And say hello to your lovely husband.
I will do that. Thank you, sir.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. I'm going to have a follow-up to everything that's happening in New Mexico with that. The four federal lawsuits that have now been filed against the governor's anti-Second Amendment mandate. And, you know, just as I was talking with my friend Kurt Schlichter, even some of the Democrats like, oh, girl, you're going too fast. I mean, it was always banned by increment. That was the whole goal. And she just blew it out of the water because she decided to just go full hog into it. So very interesting. I'll be talking about that, I think, with Laura Ingraham this evening. So we'll have that discussion so you can tune in for that. And then but make sure to sign up. Make sure to go over at Substack if you haven't. Lots of good stuff that comes out of that daily. All right. Today in stupidity, Steve is in for Kane, who's back on Wednesday. Miss Lursey, what do you
The U.S. Open was this past weekend in tennis up in New York, and ESPN had a segment. And listen to this is what and who they're featuring here.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll take you to the dirtiest shot of the day, and it was
saving the
match point.
Oh, the
match point to get to number 24. There were a lot of shots that were highly impactful. But here's the final one.
Djokovic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was great. And it was the Moderna shot of the day. It was so great. I love it. Gosh, it's just poetry. Poetry. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow, everybody. God bless.